Do you like my new Twitter picture?
It's nice. I like that.
Except for it looks like you're the...
Yeah, it does. I think that's why I like it.
Thanks, man.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
Welcome, everybody! Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. What an off-season we've had so far. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and Player.fm. Joining me, as always, he is not the $6 million man, but he's a buddy of ours. Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
What?
You're not the $6 million man. You're not Braden Holtby. You're not going to make millions
actually,
of dollars.
He is the $6.1 million man.
That's true.
He's 0.1 better than the $6 million man. Or 0.1 richer, anyways.
That's true. So, reason we're doing this show, obviously, some news broke last week. Braden Holtby got paid, finally. Here we are, end of July. Braden Holtby going to be sticking around with the Capitals in D.C. 5 years, $30 million. Coach, tell us what you thought of this deal, man. What is this a good deal for the Capitals? It's obviously a good deal for Holtby. He's going to be making some money, taking it back to
a little bit.
Saskatoon.
What'd you say? 5 years, $30.5 million. So he's got a cap hit of 6.1, which is a little higher than I would have hoped. But it's hard to say that the guy didn't earn it in terms of his production last season. I think he was one of what? He came in fourth in Vezina voting. I mean, he was one of the best goalies in the league. And to be able to make that kind of money, to keep him around for the next 5 years, and hopefully the salary cap keeps rising, I think it was a good deal. It was a good deal for him. It was a good deal for the team. And I think in the end, they've got one of the top goaltenders in the league on their roster.
Is this too much to pay for a goalie who, yes, he's proven that he is a good goalie and that he's a guy that you want to have around, but he hasn't won the big one. He hasn't won the Stanley Cup. Do you pay this much for a guy who hasn't won it yet, or do you think it would have been smarter to pay him this much, you know, if he would have won it next year?
No, I don't think that matters because it's not the NBA. You can't just win with one great player. You have to have a bunch of great guys. You have to have a goalie that can steal a series. You have to have players that can put the puck in the net. And you have to have players that can play solid defense. And I think the Capitals are building that. They thought they had built that before with the George McPhee era, and it didn't work out. And now they're trying something different, and they've got one of the best goaltenders in the league. And when you have one of the best guys in the league, you got to pay him like he's one of the best in the league. And that's what they did by giving him this new deal. I think they've got a solid defense going forward. Yes, they lost Mike Green, but he was never the best defensive defenseman. And I think they have enough offense from the back end to be able to continue moving this team forward. And they have some of the best players in the league on offense. So I think it was a very smart move signing him now. And I don't think his lack of having won a Stanley Cup should mean that you don't pay him that. I mean, what was the other option that they had right now? Going with an unproven Grubauer or hoping to trade for somebody? No, I think this was the best deal they could have made, and I think it was the best thing for the team.
I'm very happy to have Holtby here for another 5 years. I've been very outspoken about how good this guy has been. I think he should have been a Capital way longer than last season, you know, a full-time Capital at least. But, you know, lockouts and stuff like that get in the way. But he is definitely a guy. The team is more confident with him in the net. As a fan, I'm more confident seeing him on the ice in net. Obviously, up against the Islanders and the Rangers, I felt very confident that Holtby was going to be able to hold his own. And he did very well in the postseason. He did great in the regular season. He played, you know, a crazy amount of games this year because there was no faith in Justin Peters from Barry Trotz. But what do you think it means? Because it looks as if this season coming up, of course, Holtby's our number one. We've gone through many seasons in the Capitals' history where it's always been a fight of who's number one. Holtby's our number one guy. The stamp of approval is on him. I have to imagine that Grubauer is the guy that's going to back him up. With Grubauer,
I think he's a favorite right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think all signs point to Grubauer being the guy to back up Holtby. But my question to you is, obviously Barry Trotz has faith in him since they brought him up in the postseason when Holtby was sick, and brought him up whenever Holtby needed a night off.
Not just brought him up, but played him.
Played him, yeah. And we never saw Peters, really. So with Holtby getting this new deal, I have a feeling this next season we're going to see less than him than we did this year due to the fact that Grubauer is probably going to be up here full time, because I think Trotz is going to have enough faith in both goalies to play Grubauer more and not feel as if it's a risk to the team winning or not, because Holtby's proven he can play in the long stretches. You can play him for months at a time and he won't wear down, but this might be nice to see what we can do with Holtby. He's got the secured contract. You know, he doesn't have to quote unquote prove himself for a big payday. He's got that. He can be off the ice for a day or two and let Grubauer play, get some of that experience. And by doing that, I think that you're building a great backup goalie, as well as, you know, giving the main guy a night or two off. And it's going to be a great tandem, because it's going to be a threat to any team up against them, depending on who's on goal.
Well, as we saw, teams need to have not only a great goalie, but a quality, if not solid, backup. And we saw that with the Rangers, and when Lundqvist went down, Talbot came in and was able to take over and continue to push that team forward, and I think the Capitals need that. I, like you, I wasn't too happy with Holtby playing as many games as he did, but it seemed to work out for the team, and it would be nice to see maybe him get a little more rest. Not that it didn't look like he really needed it, but you don't really want your goalie playing 90% of your games. So it would be nice to see if Grubauer has an opportunity to play a little bit more, and Holtby takes a little break from time to time. Now, I know Holtby feels like he plays better the more he plays, which may or may not be the case. And I'm not one to say how the guy is as a person, how he plays as a goaltender in terms of how many games and how tired his body gets. But it's nice to see that they may have a solid backup that they can rely on in the event that Holtby gets the night off.
Yeah.
Grubauer's that guy. If he's not, then I don't know. Things get interesting.
I mean, Grubauer this year has at least shown that he can be the guy in net. You can trust him. I think you definitely need to play him more this year, because he doesn't have that many games under his NHL belt. He's definitely in the AHL. He's blown people away. So there's that. This is obviously the next step. I just think it's kind of funny that Holtby's going to be making more and potentially playing less throughout this next year. And
well, the Caps certainly got a bargain last season.
that's very, very true. But I think this is a great deal. Let me ask you this too here. Do you think that it was necessary to go to arbitration with where they landed for his deal? Before arbitration hit, it came out what Holtby was looking for, and it was $8 million. Obviously, looking at that from the outside, that to me...
he was freaking dreaming.
Yeah, that to me was just a tactic by lawyers saying, oh, we're gonna highball these guys so that we can get closer to what we really want. You know, it's like watching an episode of Flea Market Flip, but with millions of dollars.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
It's a good show on HGTV or something. They go into flea markets, they buy stuff, redo them, and then sell them for higher prices. But I think this is where they wanted to be the whole time. I don't know if arbitration was necessary or if they were just waiting it out in between Brian McClellan and Holtby's people, because it seemed as if they landed where everyone was expecting to land anyway and was expecting. I just think it's weird that it took this long to get where everybody figured they'd land anyway. What is your thought? Do you think this was a necessary step to finally get everybody to sign? Was this something that could have been avoided?
No, because I think Holtby and the Caps were sort of going to... There was a little bit of a stalemate going on, and they wanted to see who was going to sort of blink first in terms of what they're going to offer. And I think having the threat of arbitration and having the lawyers use their, 90 minutes to be able to defend their client gave them an opportunity to sort of really look at the situation and go, okay, this is clearly not going necessarily the way we wanted to. We need to find a deal. They found a common ground. Now, who may have been closer to is irrelevant in this case. I think it was a way for them to be like, look, we can't screw around anymore. We need to find a deal. Otherwise, we're going to be doing this again next season.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wanted that.
I mean, going to arbitration wasn't the end of the world. You know, Holtby got to see a side of the NHL and the side of sports in general. That is, you know, it's a business, and unfortunately, money is a key factor in sports. And I think in the end, I don't think it's that big of a deal. It wasn't a situation where he came out, didn't seem like he came out sort of disillusioned by the Capitals or thinking ill on them in any way, shape, or form. I think that he came out seeing a bigger side of the business and understanding a little bit better, and he came out with a 5-year deal, and so we don't have to worry about him going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, within that time, there could be, like, what, like 2 or 3 more lockouts. It's all good.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's kind of thinking small. I'm sure they could go a little higher if they really, really put their minds to it.
Yeah. So since Holtby's deal is done, let's move on. Let's talk about the last guy, the last man dying on the hill, Marcus Johansson. He's going to arbitration this week. I believe his meeting is scheduled for Wednesday. But he's asking for, it's come out today, he's asking for $4.75 million. The Capitals are offering $3 million. Do the Capitals even have $4.75 million to spend on Marcus Johansson right now?
Technically, yes. It does put them over the cap ceiling, but the team does have... I can't remember the specific date. Obviously, it's before the season. I can't remember if it's before or just after training camp begins that you can still be over the cap ceiling. I mean, I feel like the Blackhawks do it every other year in which they have to, like, make a move, and they just... I mean, they traded Patrick Sharp so they can get under the ceiling. And so they could sign him, but they'd be about $50,000 and change. Right around there over the cap. But then again, they also have Holtby, Peters, and Grabauer currently as part of their roster. Now, this is according to generalfanager.com. So you got to imagine Peters goes down. That's $950,000 coming off the book. So, yeah, they might be a little, under the cap ceiling? If they resign. Johansson's not going to get 4.75. It's not going to happen. Let's just go there, number one. My guess, what do they say, 4.25. Let's say that's the common ground, or $4 million, mm-hmm. if that. All right. That's still not a ton of cap space. Yeah, we'll probably have a little over $1 million.
Because you need a couple dollars left over in case someone were to go down and you had to, like, do an emergency signing or something. You need a little bit of play money.
Recall somebody. I mean, teams like to have a little bit of cap space left so that in case they have to recall somebody. So I would not be surprised to see. I mean, if they re-sign Johansson, and I think they're going to. How much? I don't know. I guess we'll find out. But when they re-sign Johansson, I would not be surprised to see a couple of guys, one or two, moved out to make way and give them a little bit of cap space. Who those guys may be, I don't know. Jason Chimera, maybe? No.
Okay, so you're saying moved out as in traded or like had to go through waivers. You're not just talking about sending somebody down.
No, I think you dump or you trade. You move Chimera and you get like a late draft, like a 7th-round pick, and you do it as a salary cap dump. You move Peters down to Hershey. He gets picked up on waivers. Not the end of the world because you signed Dan Ellis to be your minor league goaltender. He has plenty of NHL experience to come up and back up Grabauer in the event that something happens to Holtby. Or if something, knock on wood, if something happens to Grabauer, then Ellis can come up and back up Holtby for a little while. Now, I'm looking at this General Fanager website, and they have a couple other, like Taylor Chorney's cap it is on there right now, but maybe he ends up being the guy that is their 7th defenseman, or they could go with this other guy. They signed defenseman Ryan Stanton. They signed him to a 1-year, 2-way deal. Now, he played 54 games at Vancouver last season, scored 3 goals, 8 assists, 35 penalty minutes. So not, you know, he's not going to go out there and play every day, but maybe he'll be your guy. I didn't see what his cap it was, but it was less than Chorney's, and he outplays him in the preseason. Then, you know, maybe he's the guy, and you save a little bit of cap space and sending him down. They have Zach Sill, who they signed to a 1-year, 2-way deal. He played 63 games with Pittsburgh and Toronto, scoring 1 goal and 3 assists. He got 84 penalty minutes, so I think we see where his game is really at. But if he goes down, I mean, so their cap situation is a little crazy right now, but it certainly doesn't seem like they have a ton of it. So if they go and they re-sign Johansson to a big deal, like 4.75, they're going to be in a little bit of a salary cap trouble. They're going to have some problems. They're going to have to move somebody out. Like a Jason Chimera. I mean, I don't really see anybody else. The other guy that you could think of in terms of trying to free up cap space is Brooks Lek, but I don't imagine this team is A, going to have the market really to move him out, or B, want to.
I mean, you did just take like the thought out of my head, man. Like you.
Well,
like...
you just hate Brooks Lek.
Hate's a strong word.
Did you know? I just noticed this. Did you know he is the 3rd oldest gentleman on the team?
Uh huh. Yeah, and he's been with the Capitals the longest.
Chimera's number one.
Right.
Okay, I take it back. He's 1 year younger than Justin Williams. I realize he's 32.
Yeah. Well, like, here's the thing, because I wanted to bring up Brooks, like, because this kind of factors into the Marcus Johansson picture here. If Marcus Johansson makes $4 million this year, Brooks Like is making what? I think 4.25.
No, 4.5
in the next for the next 2 years. That's a lot of money to spend on your third line guys. I can't imagine the Capitals being okay with paying both of those guys
$8.5 million to two guys on the fourth line.
Yeah.
It's a little silly.
That's a lot of money to spend on that third line. So I have to imagine if Marcus were to get 4.25 or $4 million or something like that, him or Brooks Like, one of them is going to be going because that's a lot of money to spend on a third line. And with two guys who, don't get me wrong, are very good, but are not always the best guys you can count on all the time.
Well, not offensively. I mean, Johansson had a decent offensive season, but he went through some spurts where he reminded me of Tomas Fleischmann and the fact that he is inconsistent in his scoring. And so, Like's never been the same since he got hurt a couple of years ago during the lockout, one of the lockouts. And so, was that the season-long lockout that he ended up getting hurt?
No, that was the one with the half a season. That was 2 years ago.
The half a season when he got hurt. So he really hasn't been the same since.
Yeah.
So for him to, they're going to have a guy like Brooks Like and Marcus Johansson on the third line. I mean, I got to imagine it's going to be Like, Johansson, and Wilson. It's not a terrible line. Like, I like that line. The problem is they're making so much money.
Yeah, I want to see more out of these guys. I want to see these guys be able to go up. I mean, and Johansson.
I like it as a third line if you cut all their salaries in half.
If Johansson were to move up, because we're talking right now as if he's going to be in the third line and Burakovsky is going to be above him. There's a chance.
I imagine that being the case.
There's a chance that could switch, though, because Johansson has had more years. He's already worked with. Johansson's worked with Ovechkin and Backstrom. We could potentially see a couple games where he's on the top line. He moves around a lot. But is he going to be. Are you going to invest in him if he's going to stay put on the third line? Like, I feel as if he could be worth money if you could move him up, if he could be like the next Joel Ward that could go up to lines two, lines one, and could do well there. Because he's been there before, but we've never seen him, like you said, consistent where he's been. He's always been moved around, and he's never been the top dog.
Maybe. I don't know.
Brooks Like is a versatile guy. He can play wherever.
He is versatile, but his offensive game has completely disappeared over the last couple of seasons.
That
for
it
a
has.
Guy making 4.5, you need someone who can put the puck in the net more than he's doing it. And so I think right now it looks like they're just going to write out his contract for the next two seasons. And then, I mean, if they can resign him with something cheaper, that'd be great. Otherwise, I think they move on just because, I mean, it depends again where the cap ceiling is in the next 2 years. For all we know, they may go through another lockout, as we like to joke about. I like Brooks Like. I like him on the team. He's just making too much money for a guy of his skill set right now. Now, he could come in this season, blow it up offensively, and you'd be like, great! He's a bargain.
Yeah.
But right now, he's not. Right now, he's costing this team more than he's worth in terms of how sports works.
So
I was trying to make that not sound like I'm being rude.
Right.
Because, like, clearly he's a good dude. He pulls over after a Game 7 loss to help someone change their tire. You know, clearly he's a nice guy. He seems like a good dude. But in the world of sports, he's overpaid.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's just, I mean, like we said earlier, it's a business.
It is. When you come, when bottom line, it's dollars and cents. You know, that's all.
Are you doing what you need to do and making what you should be making to help a team win a cup? And at the moment, no, I don't think Brooks Like is doing that.
And hopefully next year he does. But as of this last season, he was more of a detriment to the line than he was a positive. And it sucks to say that, but it's true. Anything else we should cover in Caps world? I think those were the two big stories this week.
See, the Caps re-signed Chris Brown to a two-year, two-way contract.
He could make things interesting for that fourth line. He could be fighting for a spot.
I'm not really sure what that fourth line is going to look like. I mean, I still kind of am holding out hope they're going to re-sign Eric Fair.
He's still sitting out there right now.
Well, I read a couple – I don't even remember. It was a week or two ago that the reason he's still sitting out there is he had surgery in the offseason.
Oh.
So teams are waiting to see if he can get healthy.
Think about this right now. You and I potentially doing better than Eric Fair right now because he is unemployed.
Yeah, he's still doing better than us.
That's a good point.
Let's see. What else is going on? I mean, he could have – what's the fourth line right now?
I mean, right now
– Eagle, Lotta,
and Wilson, potentially.
No, wait. No, it'd be Chimera.
You think Wilson moves
up?
You gotta
play him somewhere. He's making $2 million freaking dollars. You're gonna play him, Chimera. What the hell does that little logo mean on their website? I have no idea. General Fanager, tell me what that means. He has a no trade clause? Is that why they haven't moved him yet?
I don't know.
According to GeneralFanager.com, Jason Chimera has a no trade clause. Did not know that. Maybe that was back in the day when McPhee was throwing around no trade clauses like it was candy.
You get a no trade clause. You get a no trade clause.
It's Oprah, and you get one. And you get one. You get one. Everybody doesn't get traded because McPhee was an idiot. Sometimes. I mean, if you move out, I mean, right now it looks like what? Chimera on the left, Beagle in the middle, and then Lotta or Brown can fight it out to be on the right. And not a terrible fourth line, but it's a fourth line that's not really going to put the puck in the net.
And you also have guys like Stan Galiev-Galiev, whatever, however you pronounce it. He potentially, while he's not eating, you know, cobra hearts and scorpions on a stick.
The hell are you talking about?
Have you not seen that?
Would I have said the word hell if I knew?
He went to Vietnam and was eating scorpions like on a kebab, and then he was eating a beating cobra heart. No, this was Galiev.
Oh, what the hell is wrong with this kid?
He was eating a beating cobra heart in cobra blood.
That dude's got a problem.
I can't believe you didn't see this. That was like the biggest cap news before the Hopi thing.
What's that Food Network guy who eats all the weird stuff?
I have no idea.
Oh, shoot, what's this? He was on Archer for one episode randomly.
Really?
It was on FX the other day before I... No, on Comedy Central before I watched at midnight. Or no, not at midnight. Daily Show. Oh, shoot. Anyways, the weird food guy. I don't remember his name. The point is, Galiev-Galiev eating some weird stuff. But it makes him a better hockey player. That'd be weird. I don't know. I mean, that'd be kind of weird if that's what made you a better hockey player.
He's just living it up in Vietnam.
Forced. If it works, it works. If not, you know, whatever. I mean, if that guy's going to play on the fourth line, it'd be interesting. You know, I mean, I don't know if he's really a physical guy, but if he can put the puck in the net, his preseason is going to be very interesting in terms of where the Capitals may see him fit in and if they have a spot for him.
Yeah, we're a little bit more than a month and a half away from training camp. I'm very excited just for the sheer fact that we do have guys like Chris Brown and Stan Galiev-Galiev that could potentially make this team. You still got guys like Liam O'Brien who made the team and played up with the Capitals a couple months. Has he improved when he was in Hershey? There's a lot of question marks. There's a lot of young guys that potentially could make this team and make things very interesting for people that we have seen around. And I think having these younger guys chomping at the bit also is maybe affecting the Marcus Johansson deal as well. Because they could potentially say, look, we're going to pay him this amount of money, but we have 3 to 4 other guys that could take his place very easily. It'll be a very fun beginning of the season for the Capitals.
I'm excited to see this season. I'm excited to see how this roster shapes up. We got TJ Oshie coming in. I think that's going to be interesting. Justin Williams. The team is definitely a little different than it was last season in terms of their roster. You know, you have, what, two of the young guns are still here. One of them, two of them are up further north now. That's interesting how that worked out. I mean, we'll see how things go. We got a lot of young guys. Kuznetsov, see if he's going to be able to make up, prove he's worth that $3 million. Is Burakovsky going to start turning the corner, as we saw in the playoffs? Is Johansson going to come back? Is Jason Chimera going to remember how to score? It's going to be interesting. Is Beagle going to earn the $1.75 he's going to be making as a fourth line center?
Yes.
Is Tom Wilson ever going to learn how to score a goal?
Probably.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I mean, it'd be nice to see what's going to happen fourth line. Are the defensive pairings going to stay the same? Is Holpe going to continue on the run that he had last season? Is Peters or Grubauer going to be the backup? Probably Grubauer. Who's going to be the surprise of training camp? Will there be a surprise in training camp? We shall see.
We definitely shall.
They have a guy in the minors called Carter Kemper. Oh, he's got a silly name.
That's like the most hockey name ever.
Carter Kemper. That's his name.
There's a dude on the Baltimore Ravens who has the most football name ever. Crockett Gilmore. That is
country like none other.
He was born to play football with that name.
Crockett. He was born to be in some bad 80s cop show.
Oh, man. Crockett Gilmore and Chips.
Oh, my God. That would be terrible. That's the name of this episode.
I like it. So, anything else we should talk about in Caps World?
Did we talk about the nationally televised games yet?
No, we have not.
So the Caps are going to have 11 games on national television because that always goes so well. 8 on NBCSN and 3 will be on NBC. So that'll be pretty exciting to see them on a national televised network. It'll be nice if they'd actually play well when they're on there. Be nice change of pace there, fellas.
That would be good. They're playing 11 games this year. That's 2 less than last year on national television. Personally, I think that's
work for Joe B.
Yeah, that's what I think. It's a good thing to have Joe B. and Craig Lachlan and Alan May and smoking Al Koken on my TV more than, you know, the penguin loving NBC anchors that I'm sick of and can't stand.
I like Emmerich though. He gets so excited.
Yeah,
I like Doc Emmerich. The other guys, meh. Emmerich. He's cool with me.
Yeah, the rest of them can go, you know, go to Pittsburgh. And
careful now.
They can go to Pittsburgh, hang out with Sidney Crosby, and talk about how he is the Lord.
Well, one of them used to work for the Penguins, so... Shocking. Though he's a Chicago guy, so...
Chicago.
I mean, Emmerich's the play-by-play guy for the Devils, so there's that. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, they'll have 11 games on national television. It'll be nice to see them. I think 3 of the games got their game time got moved from like 7 to 7:30.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
What a bunch of savages.
How dare they move it by half an hour?
Do you remember there was a game, I want to say 2 seasons ago, they had to delay it? I think by like 20 minutes because the sun was setting in DC and the sun was coming through one of the entrances to the seats and the goalie that was across the ice couldn't see because he kept getting hit in the face with the sun. So they had to put like, you know, the drapes or whatever across it, but it was still peeking through a little bit. I forget who that was against, but I remember them.
I do not remember that.
Yeah, I remember that they delayed the game for like 20 minutes as the sun was setting in D.C. Because, like, this wasn't the Winter Classic.
Someone just closed the door?
Well, no, they
put a blanket up or something?
They put those drapes up, I think, from the higher sections to block out the sun. But they didn't perfectly meet. So the sun, like, was just peeking through a little bit. I want to say this game was against, like, a Florida team that should be used to the sun. But it was just a random like Wednesday night, Tuesday night game for the Capitals. But I just remember they delayed it because the sun was setting in DC and it was hitting one of the goalies in the face. Yeah, I just
no one could get a blanket. They sell them for like $45 in the team store. Could they get one of those and just hold it up?
Same price as their bobbleheads.
Yeah, dude, don't even get me started.
All right, so is that it for Caps World?
Yeah, until Johansson does something or they make another trade, but it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, we'll know on Wednesday what's going to happen with Johansson. So, well, we'll see what happens. We'll see.
Could he be traded? I don't know.
Potentially. I mean, we talked about that third line.
They could always make a move, but I don't imagine it's going to happen.
We'll see what happens. Johansson's not worried. If you read the Russian Machine article, he was pretty much just like, yeah, I'm going to be in D.C. It'll be fine. I'm sure it'll work out. Well, he's not worried.
All right. I want to leave. They're yeah. Okay.
He was the guy that found out the lockout was over and like left his bus halfway like on the way to the next town.
He got like stranded somewhere.
Yeah.
We gotta play for some more. Get out.
Get out now.
But guys.
All right. Well, that's it for Caps World.
I am in middle of nowhere. That was very Russian. I don't know what that was.
Yeah, that wasn't Swedish at all. You'd be like,
I am in the middle of nowhere. Borg. Please help me.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Around the NHL. But before we talk about the NHL, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Here we go. We are going around the NHL. There's plenty of stuff going on in the offseason. No one's been concussed, as far as I know, during the offseason, which is good. I don't think anyone's been suspended. But we'll see. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
I'm sure someone found a way. Because they're all idiots.
What's going on around the NHL, Coach?
Let's see. Well, some of the biggest news that's come out of the NHL in quite a while is that first Lou Lamoriello resigned as president of the New Jersey Devils. He had been with them for freaking ever. He actually recently resigned as GM when they hired Ray Sherrow. Then he shocked everyone by becoming the new GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Maple Leafs, not dicking around anymore.
No.
They have got Shanahan's running the show with Lamoriello and Mike Babcock. Toronto might actually be a halfway decent hockey team in the very near future, which is going to be interesting with the Toronto media. Let's see. The Rangers and Derek Stepan agreed to a six-year deal with a reported cap hit of $6.5 million. So he got paid just a little bit more than Holtby. Nashville – yet somehow the Rangers are still going to sign like every good player in the league with $2 million, like gigantic cap hits and never have a cap problem. I don't understand it. Nashville signed forward Colin Wilson to a four-year $15.75 million deal. He also got a nice chunk of change. New Jersey re-signed defenseman Adam Larson. He's got two S's in his last name because why not? To a six-year deal, $25 million. And your boy, Alexander Semin, he's got a new hometown. Montreal has signed into a one-year $1.1 million deal. If you ask me, A, he's not going to survive the Montreal Canadian media, but that's besides the point. That is a good deal for the Canadians because it's a cheap cap hit, 1 year, and if he plays well, you may be able to go out and re-sign him for a little bit longer if he can prove himself. But if he doesn't, it's a cheap cap hit. Doesn't really hurt the team in the end. You could bench him. Not the end of the world. That's the news for the past who knows how long in the NHL.
Alex Semin is going to be eaten alive by the Montreal media.
Unless he plays well, then he'll be the second coming of Canadian Jesus.
He still won't be liked, even if he does play well, because he's a Russian playing in Montreal. They're not going to be happy with that.
He speaks French.
I'm sure he does.
As well as he speaks English. Actually, I think he speaks English now. He's doing a bunch of, like, interviews for the Hurricanes.
Yeah, well, you know what? You know, everybody was talking about bringing Alex Semin back at the right price or whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Well, then we signed TJ Oshie. Yeah. I was like, never mind.
Yeah, Montreal, enjoy the dude. You enjoy him. Hopefully you can figure out what the hell is going on with that guy. Because he doesn't care about winning games. He's doing this for a paycheck. He enjoys hockey. He gets paid to do it. I'm just surprised
I still would have taken him back if they didn't sign TJ Oshie.
Yeah, I still wouldn't have. I thought he was clearly going to the KHL and making, you know, a bunch of rubles. But he's staying in town. He's staying in this side of the world, and he's going to still play in the NHL. This is his last shot, I got to say. I think after this year, if he doesn't do what he has to do, he's gone. He definitely will be in the KHL if it's still around at that point. If he doesn't play well.
I'm sure no one knows if that will still exist.
Yeah. we'll see later. So is that it for the show? Did we cover everything?
Yeah, short show this week.
So it's the off season.
Good news for the Caps. NHL is doing its thing. It's the off season. We got training camps coming up in how long did you say?
I want to say it's like a month and a half. You know, it's the end of July, so give or take a couple days. It's usually right after. What?
We're almost there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost back.
It's the craziest. Like football season feels like, you know, 9 months out of the year is off season, but Capitals, man, it's like 2 months and they're already ready to go again.
I think the Skins had their first training something
today. Yeah, it all starts this week for the NFL.
Oh, they're back.
Yeah. All right, well, if you guys want to tell us your thoughts on Braden Holtby's deal, what they're going to do with Marcus Johansson, it's real easy to tweet to Coach Dan or I. You can be like our buddy in Chicago at A Brown Humor. He let us know last week that
he's... Chi-town.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was right in the heart of Blackhawks country.
I've been there once.
Have you? I've never been. I always want to. I've always wanted to go there. Never been. Seems like a great place.
Last winter for my cousin's bat mitzvah.
Oh.
I had about an hour? I think about an hour to walk around part of the – I mean, it seemed like a nice city. A little cold.
Did you see that like mirror?
There was a blizzard, so that sucked.
Of course it is. It's Chicago in the winter.
It is a little snowy.
Did you see like that mirror bean thing? Did you go there?
No, that was – where was that compared to? I don't remember how far it was. It was too far.
Yeah. And
considering the timeline that we had, it was too far for us to get to.
Ah, well. All right. We'll have to go back again. Maybe we'll go see a Blackhawks Capitals game and we'll do a live show from Chicago this year. I think it'd be cool if we did.
That would be cool. Not going to happen.
But everybody go follow A. Brown Humor. He gave us a shout out and let us know on Twitter that he's going through some hockey withdrawal and he found What the Puck on iTunes and subscribed to us and has been listening to old shows. So, yeah, talk to us. You can tweet to me. I'm on Twitter, at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter, at WTP Coach Dan. You can also occasionally find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which, Brandon, I believe you got one recently. Is that correct?
Yes. Last week, I turned 30, and I got...
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, it's... I hate it.
It's no different than being in a prior...
Yeah, but I did get the Slapshot Santa bobblehead that I wanted, so very happy about that.
I want the Halloween one.
I'm hoping like Verizon Center has a sale. You can buy all the old ones, but I want the Halloween one. I want the St. Paddy's Day one. I'll take the Easter one, but very happy about Santa. It was Christmas in July for this birthday, so I was very happy about that. I love me some Christmas, love me some Santa. Yeah, very cool. Cool bobblehead, Slapshot's giving away some on his Facebook, so you could check that out too. Been entering.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
But Brandon.
Yeah.
Tell me about Brando Cash Entertainment.
Oh, of course. You can go to BrandoCash.com. You get all the information you're ever going to need about our podcast, our photos, and our videos. You can check out the new What the Puck video that we did at Caps Fan Fest up on the websites there. You can go over to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. Whenever we have new photos, videos, or podcasts, we will post there. Go over to Facebook.com/WTP podcast. Like us on Facebook. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And we'll tell you all the different places you can go to download it. You can also check us out on Twitter at WTP_podcast. Now this is the part of the show where you all fast forward. I know you do it out there. You fast forward because you don't want to hear my spiel. But you're going to listen to this one. Because I have no prizes to give. But
you listen, damn you.
I'm hoping that I'm funny. But we'll see. We do the show for free. It's the off season, you know. Our buddy Alex over here, he's going through withdrawal. He's listening to old shows. We want to keep you guys, fully stocked on podcasts and hockey talk and everything like that. So, as a way to say thank you to us for talking about hockey and keeping you guys entertained even through these hot summer months, and you still want just ice hockey, all you got to do is spread the word about What the Puck. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Anywhere you're social on the web. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck and you should too. Our buddy Kurt over on Facebook, he's been talking to us ever since the Hopi deal went down. We like to talk to you on Facebook. We like to talk to you on Twitter. And all you guys got to do, say, be proud of it, man. Be proud you love hockey. Be proud of your Caps fan, and be proud you listen to the podcast and help us get as many more listeners as you can think of, man. That's all we're asking. All the places you're social on the web, say, check out What the Puck. They're a good group of dudes. That's what you gotta say. So I think that's pretty much it for What the Puck this week. Thank you all for listening. Hope you're enjoying your summers. We'll be back. I'm thinking we'll be back next week because I have a feeling this Marcus Johansson deal is going to go down. What do you think?
Well, they announced the things today, Wednesday, 24 to 8 hours, Friday. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I have to assume that's going to happen. So we'll probably be back next week. But we told you, Facebook and Twitter, that's what you figure out when we're coming back. So make sure you do it. Everybody say it loud, say it proud with me. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.